D-U-Z, puts new duds in your washing machine. Finest duds you've ever seen. Bigger news now when you sing. D-U-Z does everything.
The new Duds brings you The Road of Life. Maybe you can't imagine getting lost in your neighborhood store, but you know lots of ladies do get lost there trying to find the right soap for dishes.
Well, not me. When I get the new Duds for my laundry, I know I've got the right soap for dishes, too.
Ah, then you discover Duds does everything in the dishpan, too. From fast action on greasy pans to wonderful care of hands.
Right. With Duds in the house, I know I don't have to bother with an extra soap just for dishes.
What is it you like most about Duds in the dishpan?
Well, first off, I like those stacks of big bouncing suds that Duds makes.
Oh, they're real soap suds. Big, healthy suds that stand up till the last dish is done. There's no need to keep adding more soap to finish the dishes.
And if anyone wants a soap that's fast on greasy pans, the new Duds is it, all right.
Ah, so you're a booster for that famous Duds cleanup action, eh? Duds destroys tough grease in less than half a minute. You don't have to do any hard scouring.
That's another thing that convinced me Duds is the right soap in my dishpan.
And here's something else that's right about Duds for dishes. It's extra kind to hands. You know, Duds is different from those strong granulated soaps. It's a better quality soap, made richer, finer.
All I know is that changing to Duds from those soaps can mean softer, lovelier hands.
Yes, can actually improve the looks of hands. So come on, all you ladies, start dozing your dishes. Get the new Duds today in the same famous red box. It's fast on pans, gentle to hands. Duds does everything. And now the new Duds invites you to listen to The Road of Life. When Frank Dana, now the owner of the Merrimack Herald and for some time a close friend of Dr. Jim Brent's, came to the Wheelock Hospital a few days ago to inquire as to the nature of the construction underway there, Jim was abrupt with him, almost to the point of impoliteness. And this brushing off of a good friend has weighed on Jim's conscience ever since. Anxious to make amends, anxious to quiet the gossip which has arisen because of the activity at Wheelock, Jim talked with the FBI man on duty at the hospital, still guarding the precious material which is the object of the secret research project soon to be started. Jim was told to put out a covering story, to quiet the gossip and the conjecture. And so today, acting under the FBI man's instructions, he has come to the office of the Herald. There is Ed Cochran, busy at work getting out the paper. Ed Cochran, quiet, yet taking everything in as Jim walks the few steps across the narrow shop to the office of the new owner.
Come on in.
Why, Jim.
Hello, Frank.
Oh, I was busy here. I'd have seen you through the door.
Yes, you look pretty busy to me.
I am. But come on in if you want to, as long as you're here. Come right in.
Thank you. I will. Frank, I want to apologize for the way I acted the other day when you came to the hospital.
Oh, that's all right, Chummy.
Oh, it isn't. I'm afraid I was kind of rude to you. Maggie thought I was abrupt. Afterwards, I realized I'd been, and I hope you'll forgive me, Frank. You've been too good a friend of mine for too long a time and too good a friend of Maggie's to let a few minutes of thoughtlessness on my part spoil it.
Oh, no, really, it's all right, Jim.
I want you to know I'm sorry.
You shouldn't take life too seriously. Reporters are used to having doors closed in their faces. It's happened before, undoubtedly happened again. By the way, Doctor, do you have any advertising you want handled or any little items of local interest for the paper?
No, I haven't, Frank. I'm sorry. Maggie said she told you about the approximate date of our wedding.
Yeah, she said about 2 months from now. Well, I suppose that means Maggie will be leaving Wheelock one of these days to get things in readiness for the great event, won't she?
Well, we haven't decided whether she'll give up her work there or not after we're married.
You mean to sit there and tell me that you, the chief of staff, want your wife to keep on working after you're married?
I do, yes.
But why, Jim?
Well, there are several reasons. Maggie's one of the best technicians we've ever had, for one.
Well, sure, but there must be a thousand almost as good, but well, there's only one Maggie Lowell for you as a wife.
Yes, Frank, but
now look, Jim, I want you two to be happy, that's all.
And it seems to me you'll have a much better chance for happiness if you do one job and let her do another. Finis, period, the end, I'm all through, and we don't need to say any more about it.
That's a deal.
Now, can you think of any other choice bits of information to pass along?
Well, you're pretty busy here, aren't you?
No, and then some.
You like the work, don't you, Frank?
Oh, I sure do. Starting to live all over again.
You've got a good man out there in the shop, that Cochran.
Oh, Ed's tops with me.
You both seem to get around a good bit. I mean, you're naturally inquisitive. It's a good trait for a newspaper man to have.
Good and necessary.
Right. Well, as I said, I'm sorry to be abrupt the other day about the construction work going on at the hospital. But if you still feel like asking questions, fire away. With one and only one proviso.
Which is what?
That this matter is to satisfy your personal curiosity. And is not, under any circumstances, to be used for publication.
Okay, Jim, it's a deal. But why all this secrecy?
Well, it's entirely possible we may fail on the job we're doing up there, Frank. If we do, it'd be better for the hospital not to have it known. We're doing a tough job, but people might not think of that if we don't complete it. They'd only remember that we failed. That kind of publicity is bad for a laboratory.
Well, that makes sense, but I've never known you to worry about failure before,
well,
Jim.
We've never tackled a job like this one before, either.
Just what is this job?
Well, the job, it's difficult to explain in lay language. In short, it's experimental work in improving the efficacy of a medicine, of a drug, of stepping up its potency. Now, the construction work that you questioned Maggie and me about, that's specifically for the job. We need an air-conditioned lab. We need special humidifiers, special vacuum chambers, several special things installed for the work. I hope that answers your questions, Frank. If people ask, well, I don't suppose it'd do any harm to tell them what I've just told you, in conversation, of course. I still wouldn't like anything printed.
Oh, okay, Jim, I'll buy that. You know, it's a funny thing, though. You know, as long as this is off the record...
Well?
When I was a war correspondent, I just, happened to barge into a few places where I wasn't wanted.
Yeah?
And some very official people, FBI boys, people like that, would take me aside. They'd fill me full of information, pretty solid stuff, too, just the way you've done.
I see.
We used to call their stories covering stories. They'd put out one to cover up another to keep us from getting too inquisitive. And, Jim, I had the strangest feeling just now as you were talking that I was hearing another cover story as I used to hear them during the war.
I'd rather you believed what I told you, Frank.
Well, then let's say I do. And you can take my word for it, Jim, I'll believe it. Also, if anyone asks me, that's the story I'll tell them. And I promise you, neither Ed nor I will come snooping around Wheelock again.
Jim is abashed that Frank should have seen through his covering story as he goes back up the hill to Wheelock. But he's glad that he made this call and confident that the secret is safe. He thinks again of Maggie and the promised happiness of their life together. But now in Paris, Kurt Rockwell, a man who has plans which will destroy their happiness, is seated in the well-furnished living room of his home on the Rue de la Ville. Absorbed as he is in the papers before him, he does not at first see his secretary, Paula, as she comes into the room. It is not until she stands before him that he finally looks up.
Well, Paula?
I did not find you in the office, Kurt. I wondered where you were.
I've been down here for some time.
I waited up last night. I wanted to see you after your talk with that Brent woman. The hour grew too late. I was sleepy.
Yes, it was quite late. I take it you didn't hear them take the sailor out.
The sailor?
Grenoble. The one who told us about Carol Brent.
He's gone? No, I did not know.
Yes, he's gone. They brought him to me near the Coke Girl. We won't be troubled with his greediness anymore. He's gone, Paula.
Kurt.
Well?
What did you do to him?
He's gone, Paula. We'll never see him again.
Oh. Sometimes I do not understand you, Kurt.
Grenoble was a greedy man, ready to sell himself out to the highest bidder. I don't like men like that. They're better out of the way.
But he had done nothing. He had not harmed you. Why would you get rid of him so cruelly?
For the reason that he might have told someone else that Carol Brent was alive. And I don't want that fact known until I'm ready.
Many things about you I do not understand, Kurt Rockwell. There is no one who ever lived as ruthless as you. How was your talk with this Brent woman?
It wasn't very satisfactory. She's a vain and selfish woman, and hungry for money. That much I could stand. But she's also not very intelligent, which is most deplorable. Might even say she's a stupid woman. And I don't know just how I can use her.
Yet even so, even if you can't use her, you have this sailor killed. Kurt, for the life of me,
One minute, Paula, just 1 minute. I said I didn't know how I could use her. But I'm sure there's a way.
A stupid, heartless woman like that?
She's about our only hope to the Merrimack job. If you think I'll let the fortune I can get out of that job vanish, you're very much mistaken. Now mark this, Paula. And mark it well. The nation which owns the toxin Wheelock is working on will pay a fortune to get the secret for the antidote, if the antidote is discovered. If it's discovered at Wheelock, we are going to get it.
But this Brent woman...
is our only hope. And I tell you, there must be a way to use her. Yeah, it's 10 now. That must be she at the door. Answer it, Paula. And then stay here with us. I want you to size her up for yourself.
Only one meeting, Kurt Rockwell has sized up Carol Brent correctly. And as a result, he does not know how to use her, even if she should be willing to cooperate. But he's not a man to give up easily. With a fortune at stake, he is certain a way will be found to make use of this woman whom everyone believes to be dead. This woman, the wife of Wheelock's chief of staff. Now, here's a story about a lady who actually changed her mind about does. She'd always been a loyal doozer. Then recently she heard me say,
there's a sensational improvement in soaps today, and it's in new does. Yes, the greatest improvement in soaps today is in the new does.
Does just can't be more terrific. It already does everything I wash. Tough pieces, white pieces, even my nice print house dresses.
But she tried new does and discovered...
What? Why, it's just like that man on the radio said.
The new does gives the utmost in whiteness any soap will give.
My towels and linens are the whitest white I've ever hung on my does line before.
The new does means amazing cleaning power.
Look, those work clothes are wonderfully clean.
Yet does is still safest for the pretty colors you wash. Safest of all the leading wash day package soaps. And this new does gives those prints and stripes new pep, new beauty.
Gosh. This new does is really something.
Come on, everybody, get the new does. From the whitest and brightest to the roughest and toughest. Does everything. Be sure to listen tomorrow to another absorbing episode on The Road of Life, brought to you by the new does.
Put new does in your washing machine. D-U-Z does everything.
This is Clayton Collier wishing you good day and good dozing.
This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.